Hello.
Abraha.
How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. I am fine, thank you.
We're going to wait a couple of minutes, so see when other people come
All right.
On.
Sounds good.
Hello.
Hello, Una. This is Malka.
How are you doing, Malka?
Enjoying a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That sounds delicious.
I know. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing well.
Right.
We're going to wait another minute just so that we start on time.
Okay.
We're going to be starting on section 31 and verse 122.
All right. Uh-huh.
Amy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we're going to start with verse 122 from section 31 in the second volume of the Ulam commentary. Hashem Yehud Kudsha Brechu Yishkinte Bidkilu Urkimu Urkilu Urkilu Urkimu. Leakta Hashem Yud He Bavate B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. everybody's quiet.
This one should have, to me, this chamber should have been the easiest, and I find it the most esoteric and the hardest one to talk about. But
very
yet, you
true.
Know what it means. I mean, it's Shepa, it's loving kindness, it's how that chamber works.
How does it work is the question.
No, it's no question. I just, to me, the whole section has been basically.
You're absolutely right. It is the most esoteric because it's the most difficult to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is love? From the frame of Kabbalah, how is it explained? Love
neighbor.
Is affinity of form.
Okay.
Consciousness has to be the same for one to love one another. That's what's being described here. They're two, they appear as two, but they're one,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they're really the same consciousness. In our world, unfortunately, we perceive love as lust. We're attracted to somebody because of the physical form. Maybe it grows into true affinity, but that's after 50, 60, 70 years of marriage.
I don't know about that, because I remember what impressed me the most about Tony was...
Now that I alienated everybody with that perception, I'll go on to 123.
Well, I don't know if someone's talking, I can't tell, but...
Wicca Terrain Ruchim Meet Pashtan Da beda bechavivuta kidein it hadar hai hekala veikre hekal ahava hekala dirchimuta hekala da kaim tadir bekiumea it kenes beraza Dirazin leman de itsterich, leita beka beya, wechaka keti vetain, et odai alach. When those two spirits expand and lovingly fill each other, this chamber again becomes the chamber of ahava. The chamber of love is always stable and hidden from all within the innermost secrets, except those who seek to cling to it. This is as written, there I will give you my love. Questions? Come. The question is, the chamber is what? Oh, you're asking if the talit, when someone's praying, they cover themselves and they create a chamber by putting their talit over their head. The answer is that's what they're trying to create affinity with by doing a physical action. But for most people, it doesn't work. It's just doing it out of habit, out of rote. But yes, if you do that, that can be where you become attached to one of these spirits and grow into the unity of Hashem, because Hashem's nature is this, that of chesed, of love.
Can the chamber also be...
Are there any questions on the conference call?
Well, I don't know if you're hearing me or not.
Hanuk? Hanuk?
Of love, yes.
Anna, can you hear me?
It potentially is creating a state of love because it's creating a separation between
anything
physical.
I think he has us on mute. Well, I thought I was on mute, but I'm not.
The question was asking, continuing the discussion of what
I
it means
not.
To put a talit over your head and surrounding yourself with the talit.
And I guess you
and
could press door
many
six
children
and see.
Remember their father as they're growing up. And they come to the synagogue with their father. They remember how the father brings the talit over his head, but includes them in the standing next to him, includes them in the space inside, and they have, and people remember that fondly. It's a very, very positive experience. Any questions?
Can you hear us? I typed him in to tell him that he has us all on mute.
Of course.
Let's see if he looks at
so
his phone.
I will go on.
Can you guys hear me?
I'm going to go ahead and hang up and redial and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, I can hear you too. I guess he can't
yeah.
hear us.
I don't know why that is.
Hanna, you can hear me?
I can hear
Hanna,
you.
Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there
I just
he
got,
goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You got
that.
Our text?
I okay. got your text, yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's okay. We were way back there trying to talk, and, you know, you couldn't hear us, so.
Right. It wasn't that I had you on mute, but the speaker wasn't on, so I couldn't hear you. I apologize.
Okay.
So, do we have any questions or comments?
Hanuk, I was curious. I'm sure we've touched on this before, but the idea of it being secret, what's the importance of it being hidden and being secret?
There are some things that I'll bring it a metaphor and ask the question, why do you wear clothes? And I'll give you a hint, it's not because you want to be warm.
Right, in order to reveal. I remember this.
Yes, you have to conceal in order to reveal. The spiritual essences need a garment called a body to be revealed. So you first must be concealed, which is the essence of spirituality. And that's really what it's talking about when it talks about being secret. And that's why the revelations of the Torah, the Gematria, and all these things, that the Zohar always refers to it as the secrets of the Torah. Because the secrets have to be concealed so that we can reveal them. Because there's effort. We have to put out the effort to reveal them. And that effort is what removes the bread of shame.
Okay. So we don't really appreciate anything that is just, that we don't have to work for. I mean, like, our human nature doesn't, we're not programmed to do that.
They've done all these studies about what stimulates people, primarily males, I'll say, for the discussion. What stimulates sexually the male? It's not a nude woman. It's a nude woman with some garments, some lingerie, something that conceals and titillates. Without the garments, he can't fantasize. If he sees a nude woman, totally nude, it's not, it's not the same perception. And that's why intimacy is recommended to be under the covers in a dark room.
And I think spiritually with Hashem, when I think of Song of Song, there's so many verses that speak of love between Hashem and either you personally or Israel or whatever. But I'm thinking of the times that the reference is made where the words are my dove or my love or my sister, my bride, you know, and all those phrases give you an indication of different relationships, or even calling Hashem your friend at times. And then in Hosea, where he refers to as himself as your husband, I mean, to me, all of those give you little pictures in the natural of different relationships at different times of your life with Hashem. So I would consider those secrets and also concealed to be revealed on the spiritual level.
Correct. The language of man is a language of concealment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Hebrew word for face is always in the plural, because mm-hmm. there's always an inner face and an outer face, and we strive to be truthful. Our inner face and our outer face need to be unified. And in one sense, one of the understandings of my sister, my bride, is the relationship between the body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all words that we think we understand, but it's referring to spiritual aspects. It's referring to the affinity between two opposites. Because the essence of the soul is to share, just like God, but the essence of the body is to receive. And one of the understandings is we're in this world to train the body to share. And as we accomplish it, that's our tikkun, we bring affinity between body and soul, between our body and our soul, or our multi-levels of soul. But all of these words that are, you know, the sages say,
did we get disconnected? Hello?
I'm still here. I don't know. Maybe he hit something.
Nora, are you there?
No, we didn't hear anything. We thought we were disconnected.
No, okay. No, we're not disconnected. For whatever reason, I don't know what's going on today, but that's all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was saying is that the sages teach us that the Torah speaks to us in the language of men. And that's why it says that Hashem gets angry, because he doesn't get angry. He doesn't ever change. He doesn't go through a cycle of love or anger or happiness. Hashem just shares goodness to us. That's his essence. And the understanding is related to that. So when we talk about my sister, my dove, when we talk about all these different words that have meaning to us with respect to affinity of form, really, to love.
Mm-hmm.
All of these words are expressing different aspects of love, but they're also expressing how do you reveal what's concealed. And this verse is, you know, just another one of those expressing that. Because this chamber of love, this chamber of ahava, is designed to be unified, as we'll see in the next verse. It's designed to bring everything into unity.
To be unifying or to show unity?
To actually be unified, not just to show unity. To actually be unified. But from our perspective, to have unity, one has to appreciate the diversity. Because anytime you don't perceive the other person, the other situation as correct, as right, you're creating disunity. And that's going to drop you out of this chamber. Verse 124.
Could I ask a question here?
Well, of course.
What if you get in a conversation with someone, and of course they're of a different religion, and then they begin telling you their views, and you know, especially about the man from Nazareth, and where's the point of being unified with that? Instance or that situation.
Is there a spark of God in that person who's expressing that?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, do you answer their question or do you avoid it? I mean, the other day I was in a conversation and I used the phrase man from Nazareth, you know, I guess because most of my conversations have to do with those of us who are studying the Zohar, and that person took it as an insult. And, I went on to explain that in Psalm 16, I gave my interpretation, you know. But anyway, it made me wonder, did I cause disunity there? It's not a conversation you usually get into very often with people because we're not around too many people like that anymore. But
that's why people say never bring up religion or politics.
Mm-hmm. But they asked the question. You know, they started the conversation.
If they ask the question, you have to check your intuition to say, are they asking the question because they're searching for truth? Or are they asking the question because they're right and you must be wrong? And they want you to come over to their point of view. Because most human beings operate on the basis that if I'm right, the other person must be wrong. And that's not an appreciation of diversity. Let's take an absolute extreme. The terrorist who's cutting off heads, he thinks he's right. That's his truth. Do I have the right to say he's wrong? No, I have the need to protect myself. Until he moves forward to a different truth. But it's not up to me to cause him to move to that different truth. It's not up to me to say I'm right and he's wrong. What's up to me is to say I'm right and he's right. And it doesn't have to be both of us. Out of the two of us, one of us is wrong. It doesn't have to be that way. But we've been raised in an intellectual world that teaches, if I'm right, the other guy must be wrong. But if you think of the fish tank with the different colored panes of glass, the person looking through the green glass sees the fish as green. Is he wrong? If I'm looking through the red glass and I see the red glass, see the fish as red. My truth is the fish is red. His truth is the fish is green. What's the truth? We're both right. But there's a higher truth, which is when you get on top of the fish tank and look down at the fish, you see it's a goldfish, which I would call orange, but would, you know, I'm colorblind. What could I tell you? So to answer your question, if the person asks the question, then you give them the answer. And if he took it as an insult, that the man from Nazareth is not honoring what he perceives, you apologize. You recognize, you explain to him that saying that man's name is harmful to a Jewish soul, and therefore it's you need to not say it. It's recommended to not say it. And that might lead to a more expansive conversation where truth can be found. Might not. You never know.
Mm-hmm. It ended well. So I just can't remember everything that was said. But it ended well. So it
understand.
Was okay.
And that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to explain. You were able to reveal certain things that had been concealed to that person. And, you know, what they do with that information, they do with that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Verse 124. You're welcome. Verse 124. Livatar kad nacharim irein ruchin deinun kad nafke. Kama chayalin, lekama sitrin, alfin derivan, delayat, lon shira, min hon ikron, dudaim, min hon, gifanim, min hon, rimonim, Adrimto Kama Hayalin Levarad Ahu Tochava Piikre No Vi No Ga The Kalho Bahavivu Ilamit Barshin Le Almin The Haka Kitiv Imitain Ish Et kohom beto be'ahava boz yavuzu lo haka ishtahava'a ufrishutsu be'adim be'itabaka birchimu be'mareyo be'mareya. Later, when the two spirits that are one shine, innumerable thousands and tens of thousands of different hosts emerge from them. Some are called mandrakes, according to the secret meaning of the mandrakes give a fragrance. Some are called vines, according to the secret meaning of let us see if the vine has flowered. And others are called pomegranates, as is the secret of and the pomegranates bud forth. The hosts come forth from the spirits until some of the hosts outside the chamber reach the planet Noga, Venus, And from this planet, the lower planets draw down sustenance. After the intermixing of those spirits, they are bound by love and never separate. This is as it is written, if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly ridiculed. For one bows one's head and spreads one's hands to cleave to his master's love. The last verse is referring to what the Kohanim do when they bless the people. They spread their hands. Any questions or comments, thoughts? They're the only ones who have the spiritual level to be able to channel that level of love to the people. The question was, can only the Kohanim bless the people? But which we also have to realize is that the children of Israel are meant to be priests, the level of the Kohanim, to other nations. So what we receive from the Kohanim, we need to channel to the other nations. Any questions or comments? Is everybody still there?
I'm wondering about the symbolism of the mandrakes and the vines and the pomegranates. Are there specific references to certain things? To certain ideas?
Please say again.
I said the words like mandrakes and vines and pomegranates.
Right.
Are they symbols for specific ideas?
Absolutely. The mandrakes, right column. The vines, left column. The vine creates the grapes. The mandrake just has a beautiful smell, if I'm not mistaken. And the pomegranates have 613 components in each pomegranate, supposedly. And that represents the lower world of manifestation where you see separation instead of unity. So you have right and left column and the manifestation of the unity of the two.
Say again? I said that one should have been more obvious.
Well, it's not meant to be obvious because why are we coming to the planet Noga? Astrologically and within the Western world, Venus represents the planet of love. So we're talking about how this energy of Chesed flows into our world, into our universe. So it's not that it should have been more aware. You know, we hear what we see. You know, Shir HaShirim is one of the most esoteric verses and chapters and songs that we have in the Torah. It was written by King Solomon. And was he talking, as you said earlier, is it talking about the relationship between Hashem and Israel? Hashem and an individual? Is it talking about the relationship between brothers and sisters, the relationship between man and wife? It's got all of those different levels. So it's very, you know, and all of these verses that are mentioned here are all coming from Shir HaShirim. But the essence of what we're being taught in this verse and really in this section is the process of how the energy of Chesed flows into our physical world.
Mm.
if no one has any questions, we finished chapter 31, and tomorrow we can start chapter 32, which is Tiferet. And we normally think in terms of Tiferet being below Chesed and Geburah. But here, in this upper world, it's above Chesed and Geburah, just like Keter is above Chachma and Bina. So I wish that all of you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah.
You're welcome. At 7 o'clock, mm-hmm. we will have a class in the 10 Luminous Emanations.
Thank you,
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.